Our first reading is from Peter's letter to the churches in Asia Minor, and chapter 5, and I shall start from verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you.
Readings taken from John chapter 13, verses 2 to 17, missing out a bit in the middle. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel round himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe and returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. So if your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their masters, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise
to you.
Do please sit. Thank you, Paul, very much. So, welcome to our Serving Sunday. And I'm so pleased I didn't hear anyone groaning then. I am so conscious that so many of you, particularly this congregation, have been serving the church. I know there's one person here who's been serving in the church since I was 2 years old. So you might inquire as to what right I have to stand here and exhort people to serve in the church. But I have to, because we need to get going, as I will explain. But what better subject to be included as part of our series on Building Back Better? Now, you all know, anybody who's been in hospital for a long time, when you don't use your muscles, they atrophy, don't they? It's not malignant, it's sort of not intentional, it's just an inevitable process. So I'm not sort of seeking to convict anybody here at all. It's just what has happened over the pandemic. Lots of our service teams have fallen into disuse. And let me say at the beginning, this is nothing to do with anybody's personal attitude. It's not like the welcome team has stopped functioning because the welcome team has decided that they don't want to do any more welcoming. It's because you haven't been allowed to do any more welcoming. This is just one of the facts of the pandemic. Now, church, Paul loves a good image, and he loves talking about the church being like a body with many parts. He says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And as we all know, we need every part of our bodies to function. And those of us who are getting older know what it's like when certain bits of our bodies don't function as they should be functioning and they start packing up. The whole body suffers. So this last year, as we know, has seen significant atrophy. Whole parts of the body of the church have lain unused, and I regret to say some of them have sort of withered on the vine. Of course, this is not peculiar to church. It's evident all around us, isn't it? But we are rebuilding. We are building back better. So these unused parts of the church need rebuilding, reconstituting. And they are the building blocks that are essential for us, for getting the church fit for purpose again. And in case I haven't sort of made it clear already, these vital building blocks at this stage are our service teams, teams of people who serve God by serving the church. Now, I was thinking about it. I mean, there are many clubs and organizations that are great fun to be part of, but don't require members to serve. There's no ethos of serving. You know, you pay your monthly subs and you go and enjoy the facilities or whatever it is. There's no expectation to serve. The CEO or leader of that organization, you know, he may have a nice attitude towards being helpful and all the rest of it, but he's actually not really serving because he's being paid an awful lot of money to do the job. But the church, of course, is wholly different. It's distinctive. And the church, of course, takes its example from Jesus Christ. As Paul read to us at the Last Supper, we're told that Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. This was the Son of God washing his disciples' feet, a job reserved for one of the servants in the household of the lowest rank, because it would have been a really dirty job. Remember, people were just wearing sandals and, you know, aka flip-flops back then, and your feet would have been absolutely heaving having walked through dusty roads to arrive at a social function. And then we know that Peter flips out. He says, "No, you shall never wash my feet." He just can't get his head round it. And Jesus explains that although correctly they call him teacher and Lord, he set them an example of the importance of serving. It's clear from this enacted parable the importance, the fundamental importance of serving to the Christian faith. A call for humility is evident in other faiths. Other faiths have exhortations to be generous and stuff like that. But I think I'm right in saying Christianity is unique in having its God show in such a physical way the importance of serving. So it isn't surprising to hear about the importance of serving from other early church leaders. I mean, they had rotas to fill. Sorry, no, I shouldn't say that. they were starting up ministries. The church was growing. People who were starving needed feeding. We read about that elsewhere in the book of Acts. You know, you can just imagine somebody standing up and saying, guys, I can't do all this on my own. I've had a great idea. We need to have a team for hospitality. You know, so when you come in, you can get a little cup of water or whatever it was. And so in Peter's first letter, which we think was written from Rome to various churches dotted around what is now Turkey, and it's a letter not written just to leaders, it's to Christians in those churches. Peter writes, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Be shepherds of God's flock. So he's telling you now, be shepherds of God's flock. I know we are all God's flock, but we also have a duty to care for one another, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing. Isn't that a wonderful nuance? No one's telling you, you have to do this, but it should be because you want to do it, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, eager to serve. And really, that's the crux of the message this morning. Are we eager to serve? Now, a quick health warning. I did come in for a bit of flack last year, or whenever it was, I last preached on serving. And somebody said to me, quite correctly, I can't serve. You know, I struggle to live my life as it is on my own. I struggle to make my own cup of tea. I struggle to get in and out of my house, etc., etc. So let me say, if that is you, or you struggle in any way through whatever condition, then obviously this doesn't apply to you. Your act of service is to pray, which I think we all agree we can do anywhere, anytime, any place. So that's a let out for anyone here who is struggling and just for whatever reason can't be on one of these teams. But you can still carry on listening, okay? So I hope we have grasped what Christ has done for us. We understand what grace is. We understand what Christ has done for us on the cross, that he died in our place to take our sins away. And I think if we fully understand that, which I'm sure many in this congregation, most of us do, the penny will have dropped and you understand what grace is. And if you understand that, surely the natural response is, Lord, you have done the most incredible thing for me. Show me how I can, I can never pay you back, of course. I can never earn my way into heaven. But, you know, you've done such an amazing thing for me. I'd love to do something, even if it's tiny, in return, in response to how you have poured your grace out in my life. Well, where do we need help? Because really this is a practical talk, because we're terribly excited that at half term, after half term, we're really looking to start ramping up. There's a surprise for you waiting at the end of the service, but I'm not going to tell you what it is, particularly not on the live stream, because I might get into trouble, but it's something for everyone to look forward to. It's outside. Yeah, it's outside. Actually, that was a mistake, because you won't be listening to me now. You'll be thinking, oh, what could be? You'll have seen, I hope, the roadmap out of lockdown with various sort of things we want to be doing. But the first thing we want to be doing is restarting kids groups and then the other ministries. So today I'm asking it's the same talk across all three services, for help in some of our mission critical ministries. Now, I am going to be missing some ministries out. For example, I have to be very careful because Val Harens will be here. Is she here? Yeah. You're not sitting in the normal place, Val. You're normally over there. You're confusing me. The flowers are lovely, but they're not kind of mission critical. You know, we can carry on meeting without flowers, as dreary and as unbeautiful, as lacking in beauty as that is. So I'm just concentrating on what I think are the kind of the main things. So here are my visual aids. First of all, Christ, the cornerstone. Now, he isn't a service team. Well, the Holy Spirit empowers us, so perhaps he is. But I did say Paul loves his building metaphors, so that's the first thing. Christ is our cornerstone as we seek to rebuild. Now, the other thing I haven't got here, but this is a nod to this congregation in particular, I'm going to call it the witness of the saints, because I am so conscious. I've got Jill Stops sitting over there who, and I'm probably going to offend someone else here, but she's been here since 1963. And anyone else been here longer than that? She thinks Anne Dale may have arrived at church a couple of months before her. But Jill is here, and there are many of you here who have been faithfully serving for many years. You have laid, not the cornerstone, but the foundation for everything that is going on now. I wouldn't be here if you hadn't have poured yourselves out over the decades serving selflessly in this church. So we all, for those of us who are newcomers here, I've only been here 11 years, us newbies, I just want to thank all of you who have served so faithfully over the decades at Buckingham Parish Church. But onto the first building block after the cornerstone, kids groups. If you hadn't realised, Jade is up on the balcony. Our 11 a.m. family service. I mean, it is getting quite big now. I think we get, 30 adults and 24 children. So it is growing, but there are no groups at the moment. And I know there are lots of families who are not coming back to church because, you know, for whatever reason, they don't like the whole all-age worship thing. It's a bit crazy, children running around and all the rest of it. So we really need to restart our children's groups. And for that, we need people to help with. Kind of allied to that is our youth groups. Jacob's done the most amazing job, very quietly in the background, unpaid volunteer. As you know, we had to make Lara redundant last year. He's done an amazing job, but the youth group has got smaller. There's no question about that, and we're looking forward to restart that. We're interviewing on the 22nd of May. We shortlisted three really strong candidates for the new post, so please pray that none of them drop out between now and then, and pray for the interviews. Now, my caffeine friends say this is very important. Tea and coffee, hospitality. I so miss having a cup of coffee at the end of the service and chatting, and very soon we'll be allowed to mingle inside in the middle of May, but it is something we could do outside. So we'd love to rebuild a team. This is one team that has literally nobody's done anything since the first lockdown in tea and coffee, I think I'm right in saying. So there's tea and coffee. And the next one is our welcome teams. I think that there is a bit of welcoming going on, sort of unofficially, because we do have some sides people. And of course, some of these teams are active now. So you will have seen the servers, the sides people. That team has already been reawakened and is starting, but Jerry tells me he still needs quite a lot more people to put on there so that the duties don't come around too quickly. And then we have the production team. Now, okay, this may not float many people's boats at this congregation, but let me read you. I got this thank you card last week. It says, I would like to thank you, Will, and your team for the YouTube traditional services I have watched over the past year. I am a Presbyterian living in Bangor, Northern Ireland, and don't know how I discovered your services, but have thoroughly enjoyed them. Singing traditional hymns, which I haven't sung for years, has been a joy. And I think the prayer given by, I'm not going to mention Max's name, because it'll just make his head get bigger. I think that's his name, about the empty tomb, which was just a crib from John Pritchard's book, was great. Unfortunately, I don't do Zoom. Keep up the good work and stay safe and well. With warmest wishes, Diane. So, Diane, if you are watching, thank you so much. I hope I haven't embarrassed you. But all the best from Buckingham Parish Church to Bangor, County Down. So, the production team, Diane couldn't watch the services. You could argue Diane should be, her local church should be meeting her needs. But we do, rightly or wrongly, we have built up an online following, and that's why the production team is really important. I won't go on about it. And then we've got our readers. If you've got the confidence to come up and read a lesson, go on the rota. And we've got the choir, getting quite excited. I sense the choir is getting restless and impatient to return to the choir stalls. It's been a long break for them. We look forward to their return, but they do need extra people. So even if it's not you, you could always, if you hear your hairdresser, as and when you're lucky enough to get an appointment, singing quietly. So you've got a lovely voice. Have you ever thought singing in the church choir? And then Jerry would never forgive me if I didn't mention this. Servers and sides people. Very important to keep the church moving smoothly. And then finally, my pièce de résistance, the spire. And I couldn't get bell ringers on there, and actually, I just thought it'd be nice to have a spire, actually. That's the only reason why I did this. But it could be a metaphor for the bell ringers. You have a paper version of the form, and again, let me just say, I know many of you are already involved in these ministries, but I don't know. The Holy Spirit may just give you a little nudge. You may think, actually, been a long time since I could be able to do X, Y, or Z. The form is also available online, and it's on the Zoom details email you got yesterday evening, and it will also be sent out on an email in this coming video update. So if you haven't made it to church today and you're watching online, you can go to our website /serve and you will find a link, I hope, to that form there, and you can just complete it online. Now, there are lots of other areas, as I said earlier, but I think these are the important ones to get us started. Serving is, of course, rewarding. I mean, you all know this, but it's fun to be on a team. I remember being on the hospitality team at a church in London. It was hilarious, us trying to figure out how the coffee machines worked. It was a team building exercise, just working out how to switch the coffee machine on. And no matter where you serve, you can have a big impact. You know, whether it's speaking about Jesus or being Jesus's hands and feet, and that includes being behind a camera, being on the balcony, doing the sound, making tea, welcoming, being a sides person, pouring out all the wine before. We are all playing an important part in growing Christ's kingdom. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of service you have set before us when you washed your disciples' feet. I pray for the whole church family, that you would give us a spirit of eagerness to serve, that all our different service teams might be regenerated and able to serve the church and the wider community. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just a quick question. With people's forms, what do we want them to do with them?
Oh, that's a very... Yeah, don't take them home and forget about them. If you want to pray about it, obviously take them home. But there's the red post box at the back of church. Just fill them up and put it in there. And if there's something that's not on there but you feel called to serve in, just write it on the bit of paper. That would be great. Thank you.